Good morning, Crossville Church.
Good morning.
Happy Thanksgiving week. Yeah. I'm sure some of you all have already been taking advantage of the different meals and gatherings. I was with several friends yesterday, and I think they were already talking about events this weekend. So if you do, make sure you save room for Thursday. But looking forward to a week of good food, but a time of being thankful. Don't forget about choir practice today at 4:45, choir members. Of course, we'll have small groups this evening at 6 p.m., continuing to work through the book of Hebrews. No Wednesday night activities as we normally do the week of Thanksgiving, so you all are off the hook to sketch in one more dinner that night with family or friends. And then next Sunday, of course, we will start the first Sunday of Advent. So, that crazy time of year, but a lot to look forward to. Now, what do we normally do on a fifth Sunday night that we've done this past year?
NMI.
Sometimes we do NMI, sometimes we do other things, but no matter what we do, we always have food. So, the NMI is good, the other things are good, but the food, I mean, that's the important part. So, because this is the fifth Sunday night before Christmas, next Sunday night we will be doing a special Cookies and Christmas Carol service. So, asking you to bring your favorite kinds of cookies, and then we're going to have a good evening of singing carols in the Family Life Center next Sunday evening, 6 p.m. So, go ahead and be planning for that this week and what you're going to bring. Thank you to everybody who has supported the Bread of Life Ministry. I know many of you all have left a monetary donation or have signed up to bring some items. We have very specific things that we do each month for that meal, and we appreciate you following the list and bringing in those items. And I also mentioned last week, if anybody is interested in helping put that meal together, please see Wayne or Jane, and they can put you to work. So we appreciate everything that Wayne and Jane do with that, and we appreciate the Bread of Life Ministry and supporting them. I mentioned for several weeks now, don't forget about the Christmas store. It is also Black Friday this week, so if you find yourself out and about shopping and you see some good deals on toys for any children birth to ages 16, that's what we normally do for our range for the Christmas store, so please make sure that you get some items to bring in and donate. Thank you for those of you who have already done so, and of course, we will always take monetary donations if that's easier, but Linda Kennedy always heads that up and does a great job, and we appreciate the support of everybody who helps out with that, both bringing things in and then working the Christmas store when it happens. We've been mentioning for several weeks also the All Church Christmas Dinner, which will not be this upcoming Wednesday night, but the following Wednesday night, December 3rd at 6 p.m. You all have done a great job of signing up to cook hams and turkeys. We still need one more person to sign up to cook a turkey and do the stuffing or the dressing that goes with it. So if you can be thinking about that, and if we can have one person sign up today, that would be fantastic. And then, of course, this is going to be kind of a dinner theater kind of evening, as we will have the children's Christmas program that will be going on at the same time. One other note, please be in prayer this week for two different families. We've had two losses for two members of families of our church. Bill Kress lost his mother this week, and Bill Champeau lost his mother as well. So please be in prayer for those two families. Say a kind word anytime you think about them this week. All right. Thank you all for being here this week. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Some of you may be new to our church, and let me pass along kind of what the Christmas store is all about. We've not talked about that. We've just kind of been mentioning it. This is not where people come in and pay for their stuff. We didn't want you to think we were trying to make a profit off of that. This is where we donate, and families come in, and they get to pick. It's a very nice thing. This was going on before I ever got here. And it is a great thing. Last year we helped over 60 families, and they're able to come in and look at all the stuff that is there and shop, so to speak, as though it were a store. But because of your generosity, we're able to do that, and we sure do appreciate your generosity, appreciate you thinking about this. And it's something that goes on all year long. People bring in toys and clothes and different things all year long, and so I wanted to clarify that, because I thought, well, somebody might think we're trying to sell that stuff, and we're not. But it's a great opportunity to bless people and bless families at Christmas. Let's stand together as you're able as we worship the Lord this morning.
Yes.
Where mercy reigns and never
blood of Jesus one more time.
Jeremiah 31. It's quoted in Hebrews chapter 8, which we went through this morning in Sunday school. I'll just say the positive part. It comes after a negative part, but just so you know. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. You see, that knowledge comes only after he forgives your sin. If you understand God in any other way, you're missing out. Because we get to know him through forgiveness. That's the way he shows up to us. And we get to know him as the one who allows us to live a life holy and pleasing to God. Not a result of our own works, but a result of his goodness active in our lives. Lord, we thank you for being who you are, a God who is so good and who wants nothing but good for us. We thank you for being so steadfast and faithful, for putting up with us. And for loving us through the thick of it, even when that love shows up in ways that are challenging. We thank you for being a God who's committed to us far more than we deserve, for being faithful when we are faithless, and for not denying yourself, but rather accepting us. It's in your name that we live, so it's in your name we pray. Amen.
I want to speak to you this morning from Psalm 100. Psalm 100, we're going to be talking about true thanksgiving today. Well, what do you think about when you think of Thanksgiving? I already had my sermon finished, or at least the introduction of it finished, when I saw a meme that a comedian put out this week, and he is not known for his, he's just not real clean at times. And when I looked at the little meme, I thought, oh my goodness, he's got my introduction right there. I hope people didn't think I stole it from him. I did not. But what do you think of when you think of Thanksgiving? I mean, a whole lot of us, when we think of Thanksgiving, the first thing that we think of is food. Turkey, dressing, cranberry sauce, if you remember from a few weeks ago. Pumpkin pie. Yeah. Sweet potatoes. And now that I've got you hungry, I'm going to keep you here for about another 45 minutes. How about that? One fellow told me one time, he said, Thanksgiving's the time that you gobble till you wobble. And I think that probably is true, too. For a lot of people, Thanksgiving is a time of football. The television will come on and it'll stay on, and they'll stay glued to the television until that game is over. And the next one that comes up, it's all that's going on. Alabama and Auburn will be playing this weekend. War Eagle. Just thought I'd throw that in there for you. Y'all are not with me today. Thanksgiving for a whole lot of people is a three-day weekend, you know. A time to rest, maybe unwind and relax. But when I look at all that my wife and my mom and all the ladies in our household do, I don't think it's much of a time to relax for them.
you know. Thanksgiving is a time to prepare for the busiest shopping day of the year. My dad and I one time went on Black Friday to Best Buy in Florence, Alabama, and I made a promise to God that if he got me out of there, I would never do that again. Yeah. Wow. Thanksgiving, for most people, is a time for family. It's a time when families that are spread many, many miles apart get to come together. But I want you to understand this morning that true Thanksgiving is a whole lot more than that. It's a whole lot more than anything that I have mentioned. True Thanksgiving is not just a day for food and football and fellowship and family. It's not just a holiday that occurs every fourth Thursday in November. In fact, if you go to Psalm 100, and I've already told you that's where we're going this morning, but if you go to Psalm 100, Psalm 100 tells us that for you and for me as God's people, that really every day ought to be a day of thanksgiving. Amen. Listen to what the psalmist says, Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, basically, when you look at Psalm 100, it's an Old Testament song of thanksgiving. In my Bible, it has here a psalm for giving grateful praise. I don't know what yours has. My old Bible had in it that it was a psalm of thanksgiving. It is an invitation, but it is also an invocation for the people to recognize the Lord and to recognize his goodness. And this is where it's going to get some of us. And then to publicly acknowledge him. It calls us to praise. It calls us to thankfulness. It describes here the real nature of our thanksgiving, and not just on the fourth Thursday of November. It really describes to us the nature of thanksgiving that you and I should have really every day as we go before the Lord, as we talk to him, as we praise him, as we give him thanks. And so this morning I want to give you four things about Thanksgiving. The first thing that I want you to see is that true Thanksgiving is public. True Thanksgiving is public. Look at verses 1 and 2. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. I mean, he begins there in verse 1. Shout for joy to the Lord. The King James Version says there, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, whether you translate it shout or whether you translate it noise, whatever you want to do, the meaning there has something to do with volume. We are to vocally and proclaim and joyfully proclaim our thanks. Now, I found out as I was going through here that the word thank, it really means, in English, it really means to express gratitude or appreciation. But when you get into the Hebrew, there's really no word with this kind of meaning. The Hebrew word is yada, and it literally means to make a public acknowledgement. A public acknowledgement of what God has done. You see, in the Hebrew mindset, it was never enough to thank God privately, quietly. In the Hebrew mindset, Psalm 100 was really written as something that would be done as a whole congregation. It was a public type thing. And I found out a long time ago that true thankfulness can't be kept quiet. I mean, somehow or another, a whole lot of us have developed this attitude that in order to worship the Lord, we have to be quiet, we have to be solemn. Now, I want to tell you before you think, oh, he's lost his mind, he's expecting us to run the aisles. No, 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 no. Okay? there are times in our worship that I do think that we need to be quiet before the Lord. That we need to be quiet before Him in wonder. Quiet before Him in awe. Quiet before Him because we are in the presence of the God of the universe. I mean, think about that for just a second. You know me, here I go. Do you realize that the visible universe is 93 billion light years across? And they say that a light year is somewhere in the neighborhood of a trillion miles. So you go ahead and put all that together, okay? I don't understand it all. I sure do like to look at the pictures. I like to think about it. And you begin to think about that we serve the God who created all of this. Somebody should have said amen. I mean, we serve the God who created all this. And when it comes to who He is and what He has done, I mean, I want to stand back in quiet and awesome wonder of this God who created all of that, and yet the Bible tells me that every hair on my head is numbered. They're getting less and less by the day, but they are numbered. Y'all are not here today. But there are times in which we are together. There are times in which we are talking to someone. There are times that we really should be in such awe and wonder and such overwhelmed with joy that we do want to shout to the Lord, you know? I mean, people will say, well, I'm thankful, but that's just between me and God. It's all private. No, it's not. It's like saying, you know, I have a wonderful wife, but our relationship's very personal, so I can't tell her how great I think she is. I kid her. Y'all know that. I mean, I do that all the time. Not just here. I kid her at the house. But I'm going to tell you, I told you this a couple of weeks ago. I would not be where I am today were it not for her. And I love her. I appreciate her. Y'all don't know what she endures. Well, yeah, I can marry Mike, but y'all don't, you know. But I'm so appreciative of what God has done. Just to think, folks, that He loved us enough that even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. And when we have true joy, the question is not whether or not we shout. The question it really ultimately comes down is, do we have the joy of the Lord in our hearts, or are we suppressing it for fear that somebody might think we've lost our minds? The psalmist says here, worship the Lord with gladness. Now, that was originally talking about service there in the temple, during a service of worship. But we as thankful people ought to be willing to serve God. I mean, He's done so much for us. We have so much for which to be thankful. We should be willing servants. I mean, we've seen all the people serve the Lord. We see a lot of people serve the Lord many times with their supposedly with their hearts, but never with their hands. But if we're going to be joyful people, if we're going to worship the Lord, then it has to be both with our hearts and with our hands. We serve Him because we're thankful. We come into His presence with singing. Now, I understand and you understand that God is omnipresent. I mean, He is with us everywhere. But what the psalmist has in mind here is that when we come together, we ought to make a joyful noise. We ought to sing with joy. I'm going to tell you, you can tell about the mood, a lot about the mood of a congregation by the way they sing on a Sunday morning. I'm smiling. You know? I mean, when you... There ought to be some intensity in our singing. There ought to be some... You say, but Pastor, I can't sing. Well, make a noise. And if the person next to you looks at you and says, just say, I'm doing what the pastor said. Better than that, I'm doing what God said, you know. I mean, it's amazing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." If you don't want to sing in here, at least sometime when you're alone, find a place just to sing with all the gusto that you can in praise to God. And I'm going to tell you, it'll make your day better. Offer our thanksgiving in a public manner to God. But true thanksgiving is not only public, but it is also purposeful. Look at verse 3. Note that the Lord is God. It is He who has made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Some people are not thankful to God because they don't know God. Have you noticed how ungrateful our world is? No one seems to appreciate anything. And instead of giving thanks for what we do have, everybody wants more. Sir John Templeton, who was a billionaire investor, was once asked what was the secret of wealth. And without hesitation, he said this to the person: gratitude. He said, if you are not grateful, it matters not whether you are rich or not, you will never be satisfied with what you have if you're not grateful. When we know who God is, we know who we are, and we know what He has done in us, through us, and for us, we have no choice but to be grateful. It was kind of funny. Yesterday, Pastor Jack Oden had the devotion for men's breakfast. And he got up and he began to speak. And I thought, oh my goodness, he's about to give my whole message away. And he just about did. Because he talked yesterday about Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. He talked to us about the fact that Jesus was going to Jerusalem, and he passes through Samaria and Galilee, and he enters a certain village. And when he enters this certain village, he's met by 10 lepers. Now, Jesus never touched them. In essence, he never spoke words of great healing, but what he did say is, go show yourself to the priest. And so they turn around and they go to show themselves to the priest. And on their way, the leprosy disappears. They're healed. 10 of these guys. And all of a sudden, one realizes exactly what has happened to him. And he turns around and he comes back to Jesus. And he bows down and he worships Jesus. And Jesus says this: were not 10 healed, where are the other 9? What's interesting about this guy that does come back to Jesus and he falls down and he worships Jesus right there is that this guy was a Samaritan. This was the guy that should have wanted nothing to do with Jesus. This is the guy that Jesus should have wanted nothing to do with him. And the wonderful thing about that, when you begin to think about it, is this guy was an outcast in a lot of ways. And you and I are outcasts. You say, no, I'm accepted. Well, you might be accepted by people. But until you come to Jesus, you're not accepted by God. That was harsh, wasn't it? Can I tell you, sometimes truth is harsh. And here was this guy that was basically a complete outcast. He was a leper. Everywhere that he went, he had to cry out unclean. But not only that, he was a Samaritan. And yet Jesus went across all the barriers and healed the guy. Aren't you glad that Jesus still crosses barriers today? Amen. And He's touched you. And He spoke to you. And He has helped you. And this one came back and bowed down on purpose before the one who had touched him, who had helped him, who had healed him. It's amazing. We ask God for so much. He blesses us. And there are times in which He does bless us and we fail to thank Him. We were reminded yesterday as Pastor Jack talked to us that we are really among the most blessed people on the face of the earth. The poorest among us is rich compared to many of the people in our world. And yet so often we fail to thank Him with purpose in our hearts. Verse 3 says it so beautifully. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who has made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. We are special to Him. So special that He sent Jesus to die for us. And He cares for our every need. And we have a purpose for giving thanks every day, not just Thursday. True thanksgiving is public. True thanksgiving is purposeful. True thanksgiving is passionate. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. We're to give thanks to Him in a very passionate way. Do you remember? He's already told us to shout for joy. He's also already told us to worship the Lord with gladness. He's already told us to sing joyful songs. When we come together purposefully, publicly, offering our gratitude to God, our thanksgiving, it should be passionate. It should be expressive. Now I'm about to date us. Some of you in here will not have a clue what I'm talking about. Don't you love that? But a whole lot of us will. Do you remember Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes? I want to ask you a question. How many of you took all the little things, did all the little things in great detail to put all the stickers in there? You maybe didn't buy a magazine, but you sent that puppy in. I did. I wanted that $1 million prize. And you know, when they would go to somebody's house with that big check, when they walked up to them and with the balloons and the confetti and all that, those people would just stand there. Well, I am so happy that I won today. I never saw one of them do that. I saw some of them act the fool, I'm telling you. I mean, it was crazy the way they would act. And I'm telling you, if somebody walked up to me with $1 million and said, here you go, you've won, I might do a holy dance right here in front of all of you, you know. It's okay as long as I keep one foot on the floor, right? Y'all are beginning to get there. You're doing better. I mean, think about it. You know? In Jewish worship, it was not uncommon for people to become excited and to shout for joy. It wasn't out of the ordinary for in a Nazarene service for people to raise their hands or somebody to say glory to God. I mean, I remember my dad he had been shot when he was 18 years old. He only had 3 fingers on this hand and a thumb, and he could clap his hands, and I'm telling you, in the service, he would scare me to death sometimes. But Daddy loved Jesus and was not afraid to express it. Now, I'm going to tell you something else that my dad told his congregations. Daddy would say, I don't care how loud you shout or how high you jump, but when you hit the ground, I want you to walk straight. I'm not talking here about just emotionalism for the sake of emotionalism. I'm talking about the fact that Jesus has so filled and thrilled you that you passionately express to Him your praise and your honor and your thanksgiving. You see, thanksgiving is both an attitude and it's also an action. True thanksgiving comes from the heart. And when we consider all that God has done in us, through us, for us, I think we ought to be led into some joyful praise to Him. I'm not talking about emotionalism for the sake of emotionalism. I'm talking about true praise, true gratitude, true thanksgiving. Amens every now and then. But I also want you to notice finally this morning that true thanksgiving is perpetual. Okay? Verse 5. For the Lord is good. Listen to this. And His love endures for a lifetime. It's not what it says, is it? And His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Through all generations. I mean, there are some perpetual attributes of God that are listed here. He says God is good. Every good thing in life, in family, in faith, in health, in happiness, all of those things come from God. In fact, James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. The Lord is good. Amen. He's always good. He does such good things in our lives. You say, William, you don't know what I've gone through this week. I may not know what you've gone through this week, but I'm going to tell you, God is still good. He is still good. The second perpetual attribute that He shows us here is that God is a God of love, and His love is everlasting. His love endures forever. I mean, when you begin to think about this, God has loved us and will continue to love us. I've already quoted it once this morning, but God demonstrated His love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But God demonstrated His love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world. Isn't it amazing? I mean, we kind of just finished up Exodus, or we've taken a pause on it anyway. And I've told you, as we've been going through that, I mean, you look at those people, look at all they did. From the very beginning, they were not faithful, but God continued to be faithful. From the very beginning, they didn't seem to love God, but God continued to love them. I want to ask about your life. Have you been faithful? Have you loved God like you're supposed to? Can I tell you, He has always been faithful to you. He has always loved you. He's not only good, but He's loving. The last thing that He tells us here is that His faithfulness continues through all generations. I mean, though, everybody in this world may fail you. Everybody in this world may walk out the back door on you. But God will be faithful to you. When Jack read from Jeremiah a while ago, I thought, oh no, here we go again. Must be Pastor Jack's day, or yesterday and today. But he didn't do it. Jeremiah in Lamentations 3, 22 through 23 says, because of the Lord's great love. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Listen. For His compassions never fail. Isn't that good? They are new every morning. And then He says, great is Your faithfulness. I mean, God is faithful to us. The whole world may walk away. We may not be faithful to Him, but He is going to continue to be faithful to us in every aspect of our lives. There's not an area of our lives that He is going to cease to be faithful. He will continue even when we don't. And because God's blessings, His goodness, His love, His faithfulness, all of those things continue. Because of that, I'm telling you folks, we have so much to be thankful for. How can we sit idly by? How can we sit silent at times when we begin to think about His love, think about His goodness? How can we do that? You see, our thanksgiving ought to be perpetual in all of this. Application. Well, what do you think of when you think of Thanksgiving? I hope that as we go through this week, that we're not consumed with just getting a meal together. I hope that as we go through this week, we won't be thinking about where will this put our team in relation to the playoffs, you know, those kind of things. I hope that we think about more than just our family as they come together, as wonderful as that will be. I mean, all of the festivities that are going to go on this week, I hope that as we come to that day and as we sit down as a group of people, that we'll realize just how much we do have to be thankful and offer that to God. And offer that to God. An old farmer was sitting on his front porch with his wife. He thought about how much she meant to him, but rarely told her. I mean, they'd been together for years and years and years, and as they swung on that front porch swing, he said to her, "Wife, you've been such a wonderful woman, there are times that I can hardly keep from telling you." Some of you got that. Some of you get it about 2 o'clock this afternoon. God is so good to us. How can we keep from telling Him? We don't need to hold our thanksgiving back. Our thanksgiving ought to be public. It ought to be purposeful. It ought to be passionate. It ought to be perpetual. For He is the God that we serve.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so and free.
Let's stand. Some of you, that's the first time you've ever heard that song, probably. Here we go, one more time.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free.
And Lord, this morning we do offer You our thanksgiving. You are good to us. Your mercy extends to all generations. Your faithfulness is there. And Lord, when we think about Your love, it boggles our mind. Why should You, why would You love us or care about us? But You do. And so, Lord, this morning we do say thank You. We say thank You from hearts that have been changed and transformed. And if our hearts have not been changed, have not been transformed, in this moment right now, we can look to You. We can admit to You that we've sinned. We can admit to You that we've messed up royally. But Lord, we can also believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that He came to live, to die, to be resurrected, to ascend, to sit at the right hand of God the Father to make intercession for us. We can believe in you, and then we can confess you as Lord. Confess you as our Savior. And know, Lord, that you will change us. You'll make us into what we really were meant to be. A child of God living for you. May you go with us from this place this morning. And Father, there are needs, there are burdens, there are those who are in the hospital, there are those who are bereaved, who are traveling even today. I pray, Father, that you would bless, that you would help, that you would comfort as only you can. And so, Lord, this morning we entrust them to you, believing, God, for your touch upon their lives. Bless us, use us for your honor and for your glory, and as we go into this mission field, as we are about to do, may we live in such a way that people would see that there is something more to Thanksgiving than just food and football and a shopping day. That there is something in our lives that has changed us. And may they want it more than anything else to know the Jesus that we serve. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory, we give you thanksgiving this morning. For all that you've done for us. And all God's people said.
Amen.
God bless you. Y'all have a great Thanksgiving. We'll see you next Sunday.